You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. This program is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. Our next service is tonight. You are invited. We would love to see you. We start a brand new book tonight. It's the short 3-chapter book. It's a letter that Paul wrote to a young pastor whose name was Titus, and that's the name of the book. That starts tonight. We would love to see you. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, hey, you guys got 28 minutes to make it to church. Even if you're a few minutes late, we'll keep the light on for you. We'd love to see you. I can't encourage you enough to get the Word of God in you during the middle of the week to help refuel, recharge yourself, to give you the spiritual strength that you need. You know, this is an evil world. And I just want to encourage you, be in the Word of God. Be in church when your church is open. And there's no greater thing, there's no greater way for you to recharge your batteries than to be sitting under the Word of God. The author of Hebrews tells us the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Spend time in the Word. No greater way to do that as well than to be at a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God verse by verse. That's what we do, and I hope that's what your church does as well, especially on Wednesday nights. So though we do that for all of our services, that's what you're going to hear today now is part two of that. From last weekend, 7 principles of evangelism. We're going through verse by verse in the book of Acts. We are looking at someone named Philip here today. Philip the evangelist, one of the very first evangelists, one of the very first deacons of the church when the apostles were overwhelmed because so many new people were coming to Christ that had to choose some helpers. And Philip was one of those. We're going to look at his method of evangelism here today. This is part two of this message. Again, we'd love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock. This Sunday, we'll be looking at the conversion of someone named Saul, whose name is going to be changed to Paul. We'll follow Paul around on the Damascus Road as the Lord Jesus knocks him off of his horse. Now, here on the radio today, let's go to Philip the Evangelist. This is part two of this message, 7 Principles of Evangelism. Paul could not have known the proper opening if he had decided before he got there what he was going to say. Neither could Philip. But here was his proper opening, which he would not have known had he decided in advance. All right, verse 30. It says, so Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you were reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was this. Now, isn't this funny? Well, I mean, what a coincidence. What are the odds of this? That he shows up, he doesn't know what he's going to say, and the place is going to hear a complete stranger is the greatest verses ever speaking about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. A coincidence? Not on your Nelly. Is that a coincidence? Verse 32, the place in the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or some other man? Now, if this was me, I would have secretly said to myself, pinch me, Lord. I must be dreaming. What are the odds of that? Thank God he didn't have a whole, what would Shakespeare call it, soliloquy. Some 30-page diatribe already filled out before he got there. All he had to do was show up and listen. Volunteer, I'm available, I'll go. All right, Holy Spirit, I'm available. Holy Spirit shows where you go. You're led by the Spirit, and now you listen to what the man's going to say. Who's he talking about? Himself or some other man, he says. Then Philip opened his mouth. I mean, how easy was that? Anyone could have answered that, right? And if not, if you couldn't have answered that, we'll work on that. That's all. If you're saying to yourself, well, I didn't know, well, we'll work on that, right? I mean, that's the answer. If you don't know it, we work on it. And then you will know it. This is a win-win. You either win or you win. There's no losing in the school of God. If you don't know it, we will know it. And then you'll know the answer to this. You know it now. I mean, this whole church knows now if someone ever asks you, have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Everyone in here knows how to answer that question. You're not going to say, dude, what's the Holy Spirit? No one's going to. No, that requires this one. Anyone who says that, I'm going to crown you if you say that. Who is the Holy Spirit? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. So that was point number 4. He used the proper opening. Point number 5. Use tact. T-A-C-T. Tact. I remember once at a car dealership I was at in West Palm Beach, there was this crazy, long-haired, wild-eyed fruitcake who was telling people about Jesus. And he had this weird look. He had like Marty Feldman eyes. One went that way and one went the other. Yelling at people. Philip used tact. We read about people like that when we get to chapter 16. The Apostle Paul's going to run into someone with some googly-eyed woman who is saying to people, listen to them, they're telling you about Jesus. And that annoyed Paul. And he cast the demon out of a woman who was telling people about Jesus. Not everyone who tells you about Jesus is legit, you see. Use tact. Even though he had his foot in the door with the chariot driver, he remained courteous, gracious, and sensitive to him, knowing the importance of the subject matter. Philip didn't say to him, you filthy swine. Quit sinning, scallywag, or I'll keelhaul you. Reminds me of another great verse, 2 Timothy 2:24. Paul says this, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. All right, so back to Philip in our list. That's number 5, use tact. Use tact. Number 6. He was specific. He was specific. No vain dialogue about Jesus. He spoke about Jesus, who was the only way to eternal life. He was specific. Like when the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is being specific. Specific like, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. John 10:9, that's specific. specific, like when Peter says 3 weeks earlier than this on the day of Pentecost, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Be specific. Jesus Christ is the only way. Not what works for you or what work for me. The only thing that works is faith in the Son of God. But be specific. Verse 35. So then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, or behold, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Well, I wonder what Philip told him for him to say that. I would say, easy. Repent and believe the gospel and get baptized, right? Why would some stranger say that to him? Here they are riding along. Look, there's one. That word edu means behold. Check that out, Philip. There's some water right there. How fortuitous. There's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Verse 37. Then Philip said, all right, he's answering the question. Why can't I be baptized? And he says, if you believe, if you put in 30% of all that you make into this offering plate, if you sign over your house to us, I know a church down in West Palm Beach that forces its members to sign their paychecks over to the church. And then the church takes out their 10% and gives everyone else whatever is left. Why can't I be? What's preventing me from being baptized? He says, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. I would say, if you don't, then don't. Matter of fact, you shouldn't get baptized at all. If you don't believe, don't waste your time. We've just looked at what happened before for lying to the Holy Spirit, remember? Because when you get baptized in here, I'm going to ask you if you believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't do that if you don't believe that. We saw just a week or two ago, this Simon Magus did that. How did that work out for him? Peter said, let your money perish with you. So he answered, he said, I believe, this is verse 37. It's not in any other Bible other than the King James and the New King James. Acts 8:37 is not in any other Bible in this world except for the King James and the New King James. You'll notice if you have another Bible, it skips right to verse 38, goes from 36 to 38. So he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that funny how that verse has gone out of all the new Bibles? So he commanded the chariot to stand still. I'm in verse 38. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Now that city, Azotus, it's 20 miles north. The same Greek word where our word for rapture comes from, where it says he was caught up here, harpazo. Means to steal, open theft, snatch away. This is what happened to him. So, lastly, the point number 7 is follow up. So, number 6 was be specific. Number 7 is follow up. I can't stress enough how important follow up is. Listen to what the Lord Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 13. Key verse to help us peer behind the scenes, to recognize what's going on. He says, the Lord says, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away. There's that word again that's translated as rapture. Snatches away. This time Satan's doing the rapturing. Who's he rapturing? A group of people that don't understand. Man, oh man. I mean, if you guys don't understand, look, it's right in here, you see? Right in here. Paul Esposito, 427-7556. Elected77@gmail.com. It's in here every week. One-fourth of the people that start off in the faith, Jesus says, don't cross the finish line because they walk out the doors or they shut off their computer there on YouTube because they don't understand something. Call me if you don't understand something. Stop by. Talk to him about it. Talk to us about it. We will work these things out here together. But don't let anyone steal your crown because you don't understand. Follow up. At all the Billy Graham Crusades, their main concern is ensuring following up for all the people that are about to come up front and receive the Lord Jesus. They never pat them on the back and tell them, have a nice day. They ensure new believers got somewhere to go and someone to talk to. Like I said, same as here. Pastor Darren and myself, we are here for the most part every day of the week. We're always available. If we don't hear from you or see you, you'll receive a phone call from us or a visit from us. This is one of the awesome things about being a part of a small church, isn't it? You're missed when you're not here. You'll hear from us if you're not here. You don't slip through the cracks let's call Island Community Church a family church. You don't slip through the cracks in a family church because you're family. You're family here. So once again, here's the seven principles of evangelism. Notice too on the bottom of this list here is what we call the Roman road. You'll see it on the very bottom of this handout here. That is, you can help lead someone to Jesus Christ by just using one New Testament book. It's all listed on the bottom of this handout, the book of Romans. So here they are, seven things. Number one, be available. Don't send God to your voicemail when he calls you. Or else, sorry to say that he'll just call someone else. He won't get mad at you. He'll just call someone else. I don't want to see that happen to you. I don't want to see it happen to me. Who am I? I'm no better or different than anyone else in here. How many times have I sent God to my voicemail? Good Lord. What a terrible confession that is. And there are opportunities I'll never get back ever again, as long as I live. All the times that I was too busy for God when he had a job to do and Paul W. Esposito was up on that Rolodex and he was going to send me and I sent him to voicemail. So be available. Be led by the Spirit. That is, lean not on your own understanding. When you find yourself in a similar situation, also, what worked for you one day might not work for you the next day. That might have only been a one-time. I mean, God will tailor your message. If he sent you to 10 different people, the odds are he's going to give you 10 different things, not the same to everyone. What you're dealing with is different than what he's dealing with. So the message is going to be different. That's why you got to be led by the Spirit. Number three, be obedient. That is, do or say what the Holy Spirit gives you to say. Be obedient. Only God knows the issues that another person is dealing with. Number four, use a proper opening. What's that old saying about flies and honey? Paul used a great opening. In Paul's sermon, he preached a sermon to a whole bunch of heathen. What did he say to them? He said, I can perceive in all things that you guys are very religious. What a nice thing to say. Even though there wasn't one believer among them, he complimented them. He said, I can perceive that you guys are some really religious people. Praise God, you believe in God. So he's walking through, he finds one statue there that said, Pros Agnosto Theou. That is, to the unknown God. He says, see that unknown God statue you got over there? That's the guy I want to tell you about. Praise God. Use a proper opening. Number five, use tact. Don't
say to someone, you old flip-flapping flounder? Or call an inquisitive seeker a filthy swine? Or tell someone they're going to hell if they don't believe? You just preach the word, that's all. Leave the convicting to the Holy Spirit. He'll take care of that. Leave that to Him. That's His department. Use tact. Number six, be specific. Jesus is the only way, and He is the door to eternal life and forgiveness of sin. For that, there's no gray area. There's no wishy-washy when it comes to Jesus. He is the only way. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And number seven, follow up. Give out your cell phone number or your email address. Check on someone. Now, you notice on the bottom of your handout here, it's called the Roman Road. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You'll notice that there's five verses there. The first is Romans 3:23. Flipping over one page. If you ever had the opportunity to sit and talk to someone about Jesus, you can do it all right here in these few chapters. Starting with 3:23, where it says, under the heading of the reality of sin. The scripture verse, it says, for all have sinned and come right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the first thing is, Romans 3:23, I am a sinner. The second one is the wages of sin, 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Or we could say there for the second one, my sin is going to pay off in death. Number three, 5:8, Christ's payment for sins on the cross. That's the good news. So we all have sinned. I'm a sinner. We believe God at His word. I'm a sinner. What am I going to do? The wages of sin is death. If I keep going the way that I'm going, it's going to cost me my soul. When God says, He said, today your soul is going to be required of you. Romans 5:8, the good news. The good news is Jesus paid the cost and paid the price for my sins. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love towards you. And that while you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. There's the good news. There's the life preserver, right? Romans 10:9. I'm called to believe. Where it says there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's good news. Hallelujah. And then lastly, God's assurance of salvation. As much as you can be assured that the wages of sin is death, you can be assured of Romans 10:13 that says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can take that to the bank. Let God do the work. We just need to be available. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
91.5 FM, WMIE Radio, Today's Modern Worship, has an official Facebook page. You can check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment as well and follow us on 91.5 FM, WMIE Today's Modern Worship. You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We constantly ask God for what we already have. Have you noticed that? Because we don't know our resources. We go to God and we say, oh, God, I need more love. I just want you to give me more love. And the Bible already says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. You say, well, what am I supposed to ask for? James said, ask for wisdom. And wisdom's the sense not to ask for what you got.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson.
It's true in any professional sport. The athletes who enjoy the richest contracts are typically the best at what they do. They produce on the field, on the ice, on the court. They make few mistakes, and clearly they help their teams because of the skills they bring to the game. Now, compare that scenario to salvation. Frankly, there's nothing you bring to the game, so to speak. There's nothing that you or I or anyone can do to convince God to save us. And so the question is, why did God choose to save certain sinners and not others? How do you explain this doctrine of election? And what's the connection between the doctrine of election and our spiritual riches? Keep those questions in mind as John MacArthur continues his study called Richer Than You Think. And now here's John with today's lesson.
In most of Paul's discussions of the church as the body of Christ, in most of his discussing that, he is referring to the present, here, and now operation of the church. But in the first chapter of Ephesians, he goes way back into eternity past and shows how God master planned the church as the body of Christ before the world began. So this is really a look way back before history. Look with me at verse 3 through verse 6a. There are six aspects of blessing in verse 3. Let's see what they are. First of all, the blessed one is God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second element I see here in blessing is that God is also the blesser. He's not only the blessed, but the blesser. Who hath blessed? Who hath blessed? Where does all blessing come from? James put it this way, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing comes from God. You know, even when it looks bad, he makes it good, Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for what? For good, to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. God blesses because God is the source of every good thing. Get that in your mind, will you? God is not the source of some good things. He is the source of what? Every good thing. He made creation, made the entire thing, got all done, looked on it and said, it is what? Good. It's good. The bad things in this world come because man is a sinner. So we see that God is the blessed one and the blesser also. Who are the blessed? Right after the word blessed, it says us. That's us, folks. We're the blessed. In God's wonderful grace and his marvelous providence and his sovereign plan, he has chosen to bless us. Who are the blessed? Who are the us? Those who believe. Galatians chapter 3 In verse 9, it says, "So then, they who are of faith are blessed."